I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good evening and welcome inside the Quicken Loans Studios in Houston, Texas. Once again, it has been a very busy week in sports, and over the next 2 hours, we have got you covered with the biggest and the best. Up first, we're going to head up to Oklahoma City and visit with always one of the Big E favorites. That is the sports director with KFOR Television in Oklahoma City, Bob Berry Jr. Good evening, Bobby. How are you on this Friday night?
Hey, how are you? I'm doing great.
Hey, I'm doing great. Anxious to talk about some of the big changes taking place in Oklahoma City. The Thunder, they hire Billy Donovan as their head coach. He agrees to that multi-year deal. What was your reaction? And in your mind, does he fit the Thunder mold and job description?
Well, I definitely think he fits the mold, obviously. And he had a prior relationship with Sam Presti, the general manager, who made the double whammy decision, if you will, to fire Scott Brooks, who I think percentage-wise is only the winningest NBA coach percentage-wise without an NBA title, and then bringing in a college coach with 1 day of experience as the head coach of the Orlando Magic back in 2007. But Presti knows all about Billy Donovan, and Sam, in fact, hired a couple of guys from Donovan's Florida staff in the last couple of years to assist the Thunder, including the Developmental League head coach Mark Degnault. So, you know, there was a prior relationship, and Billy Donovan had his introductory news conference a couple of weeks ago and said and did all the right things, and he and Sam Presti appear to be all smiles and giggles, and they're ready to go. They got a lot of work to do.
They do. Well, so obviously we heard the mixed reaction on the firing of Scott Brooks. What has been the reaction from Thunder fans? Are they cautiously optimistic about the hiring of Billy Donovan, or have they embraced him wholeheartedly?
Well, they're trying to be cautiously optimistic. I think it'd be unfair of any of us, including Billy Donovan or Sam Presti, to say, oh, yeah, this is going to be a smashing success, because when Sam Presti made the decision to cut Scott Brooks loose, the only thing Scott Brooks didn't do in his time in Oklahoma City was win an NBA championship. He did everything else. He won a Coach of the Year award individually. He already had a ring as a player. He had a four-time scoring champion in Kevin Durant. He had a league MVP in Kevin Durant. And he had a scoring champion, Russell Westbrook, last season. And he went to the Western Conference Finals 3 times, won his division 4 times, went to the NBA Finals once. So when you look at all of that stuff, Elissa, it was not your normal firing. Scott Brooks, you couldn't really check a list of faults that he had as the Oklahoma City Thunder head coach for a reason to get rid of him, and yet the Thunder did that. So in my mind, with Billy Donovan's hire, it's championship or bust, and anything short of that, I think in this next season, given the health of the team, they better be healthy, including Kevin Durant, obviously, but if they don't win the championship, then I think everybody aims at Sam Presti, not at Billy Donovan, and the general manager's job could be on the line.
Sports director with KFOR Television in Oklahoma City, Bob Berry Jr., is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. We want to hear what you think. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can always email the show at Elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. Bob Berry Jr., of course, is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Got to ask you this, since you're talking about General Manager Sam Presti, he said that he cast a wide net. They looked at a lot of different people, but that ultimately Billy Donovan was the right person for this job. Who else were some serious candidates?
Well, not that I don't, you know, like Mr. Presti and all, but I would say that wide net was just big enough to fit Billy Donovan in, because we're led to believe Billy Donovan was the only guy they interviewed and the only guy they offered the job to. And, of course, you know as well as I do, it's all the national people, the minute the job came open when Presti made the controversial decision to let Scott Brooks go, Billy Donovan's name popped up first on everybody's list. And so I just think that it was always going to be Billy Donovan's job to lose, and as opposed to what Donovan decided to do almost 20 years ago when he took the Orlando job and then turned it down after 24 hours. He was ready to go, and I thought he was pretty honest at his news conference here in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I felt like I did everything I could have done at Florida. Two national titles, four Final Four appearances, six SEC championships, all that kind of stuff. He said, as opposed to 2007, when I felt like I still had work to do at Florida. So I think he was a little gun-shy. He might have gotten to Orlando 8 years ago. I certainly don't mean to speak for him, but might have gotten there and seen that the organization structurally wasn't what all he thought it was going to be, whereas he knew about Sam Presti, had done all this stuff at Florida, is almost 50 years old, and thought, man, I'm ready for the NBA, and what a great situation. Because think about it, when has a college coach ever inherited a roster like this coming into the NBA? It's incredible.
Yeah, with KD and Russell Westbrook. So I know you said it's been a couple of weeks ago since the press conference and the introduction of new head coach Billy Donovan. What were some of the notable highlights, and did you have a chance to speak with him?
Well, we got a couple of minutes with him, but again, he's polished. The guy's been coaching half his life, so I fully expected what I got. I mean, a guy that was certainly not a rookie by any means. I mean, he might be stepping up to the ultimate plateau of his sport, but he knows how to handle a press conference. So he definitely won the press conference. I thought it was cool that Kevin Durant showed up in attendance, as did Nick Collison, two of the guys that were in town. You're talking about the leader of the team and then the most veteran player on the team, as you well know. So both of those guys were there, and it's probably appropriate that both were there. Kevin Durant on a scooter and Nick Collison on crutches, because he just had arthroscopic surgery. And of course, Kevin's facing that bone graft surgery that he's had and he's trying to recover from. So, but it was good to see those guys there. I thought Coach Donovan handled everything perfectly, and he paid tribute to Scott Brooks, which I also thought was warranted based, again, on the success level Brooks had. This is not, as my radio partner, the former Oklahoma State head football coach Pat Jones says, this is not a car in a ditch. This is a program that's just on the cusp of winning an NBA championship if they can get a little health break or two.
Right. It is not Orlando. So what is the biggest challenge that Billy Donovan will face making that transition from college to the pro?
Getting number 35 injury-free and healthy and playing an entire season. I don't even think it's close in terms of the number one goal. People say, well, he's got to develop a relationship with these guys who might have a raised eyebrow over a college coach trying to come in. But he's great with relationships. Plus, Billy Donovan spent several years coaching with USA Basketball, so he's been around these pros, you know, helping out Mike Krzyzewski and those kind of guys with Team USA. So he's not new to that part of it. But it's all about Kevin Durant. If he, especially with Kevin coming into the final season of his contract, so many national people have already written Durant off as, well, he had a great time in Oklahoma City. Where will he be next year? You know, Washington, D.C., L.A., New York, whatever. But I think it's incumbent on Kevin having a really good season, being healthy, getting back into a good groove again, and then being comfortable enough with his new head coach and his teammates to where he wants to sign to stay on in Oklahoma City with a massive contract because of that new TV money. I mean, Kevin Durant stands to sign for $30 to $35 million a year after this final season.
Well, you know, Bobby, health obviously will be key, but will he have to change the way that he communicates? Because it is different from college to pros. I mean, you're talking about guys 24 years and up. They're more mature. These aren't college guys.
I think he will, and he admitted that at his news conference. But he said, I'm all about relationships. All I've done my whole life. And he also did his own research before he went into the NBA. His mentor to this day is Rick Pitino. I mean, that's who he played for at Providence, talking about Coach Donovan. So Billy the Kid said, you know, I talked to Rick Pitino, and Pitino said, you know, I really had a lot of fun times when I was coaching the New York Knicks because I won, and I couldn't stand my tenure with the Boston Celtics because I lost. So what Pitino schooled Donovan on was, if you're going to take an NBA job, make sure you're surrounded by good players. And like we said, because of the roster, and it's not just Durant and Westbrook. I mean, you've got Serge Ibaka. You have the youngsters that came on last year. Mitch McGarry is a rising star in this program. Steven Adams, they've got big guys. They've got small guys. They brought in Deion Waiters last year from Cleveland. I think he's going to end up being the starting shooting guard at just age 23. And they went from averaging almost 30 years of age after last year each to now averaging 26 years of age and being a better roster if everybody's healthy. So they got younger, they got better, and now they have a coach who's used to being around young, good people. I think it's a good fit on paper, but again, we won't know until they get going and, you know, figure out the chemistry and all of that and see where the boundaries are, if any.
Much more NBA talk coming your way with Bob Berry Jr. from KFOR Television in Oklahoma City. We will be right back at YSR. We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell as we continue to take you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Right now, we're in Oklahoma City. We are zeroing in on the Oklahoma City Thunder, going one-on-one with Bob Berry Jr., the sports director with KFOR Television. And as we talk about head coach Billy Donovan, it really seems like, you know, even from watching him in the press conference, that he has a humility about himself, and he also has an awareness that you can't go into this job having an ego. And I loved one of the things that he shared. He said, it all comes down to relationships. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted, and we all want to be appreciated for who we are. And that really, Bobby, that's how you build up trust, if you understand that.
Well, it does. And again, he's got a few skins on the wall. Maybe not in the NBA, but when you have championships on the college level. And Kevin Durant said, hey, man, I know how to use the internet. Durant got online and got on the cell phone and started calling guys like Chandler Parsons and like Mike Miller and some of these other former Florida players that played for Billy Donovan, and he got all positive remarks in his research. So that kind of fired Kevin Durant up. And then when you look at some of these guys, they're still in the NBA playoffs right now, like Al Horford, you know, in Atlanta, Bradley Beal in Washington, Joakim Noah in Chicago. I mean, these are all former Donovan stars at with the Gators. So he's sent a lot of guys onto the league, and they've all been successful. They all play with that grittiness, in my mind. They're all tough. They aren't really that boastful, I don't think. They just play hard and win. And so he's got that. I mean, if these guys do any research at all, these pros, which they do in this day and age, they should be kind of favorably impressed with what they're getting into. And then, like you said, he appears to be so non-confrontational.
Right.
Even when he gets mad, I just can't imagine him blowing up some guy at practice or during a game or whatever. He's going to be pretty diplomatic in it, and that embodies what Sam Presti's all about. So, like I said, the match is there. I wouldn't even say cautiously optimistic. I'd just say the Thunder fans have to be optimistic because, for the most part, this franchise has hit a lot of home runs since they came here from Seattle.
Does he seem like he has a lot of similarities to Scotty Brooks?
Well, I think so, in the sense of how he relates to people and to the media and to his boss and to the players. So I think that's a very good way of saying it. But you know that Thunder culture. You were a part of it.
Right.
You know what Sam Presti's about. You know how controlling they are as a franchise because they learned from the San Antonio Spurs model. So, you know, it would have shocked me if the Thunder would have gone out and hired some boisterous guy. You know, Tom Thibodeau's name has been thrown around by a lot of people because he's so hard on players and he's going to keep people accountable and all of that. And I just didn't think from the jump that that would be a fit. And you have to have a fit in professional sports, regardless of how good a coach is or isn't. So this is right there. It has to be classified as a really good fit to start out. But, again, I don't know if it will work. We'll have to see. I mean, I'm a guy who believes if Greg Popovich was coaching the Oklahoma City Thunder last year, they wouldn't have done much better because they had every single guy on their active roster suffer an injury or a surgery. So it was kind of a throwaway year in my mind, which is why I was surprised that Scott Brooks got fired after this season instead of before this past season. That was a little unusual to us, so we really don't know what was going on in Sam Presti's head there, but he's made his decision now. Like I said, all the pressure, in my mind, is on him, the general manager, not the coach.
Right, injuries, a big storyline in the 2014-2015 season in Oklahoma City. So what are your expectations offensively? How will this team perhaps look different under Billy Donovan?
I don't think very different offensively. They were really a very good offensive team all season. The problem was defense. They were terrible defensively at the end of last year. And it wasn't just, you know, oh, we couldn't, you know, we ran into each other, couldn't get past the screen or whatever. I mean, fundamentally, they were bad. Teams were getting wide open 3-point looks against them all the time in crucial situations and winning key possessions and getting offensive rebounds. So, in my mind, that's the biggest thing Billy Donovan has to work on. And that might mean for Billy to go out and get a defensive specialist off an NBA staff or some guy with experience in coaching defense in the league, because if this team can shore up their defense, they have plenty of offense, the most offense they've ever had, even including the year they had James Harden and went to the NBA Finals. They're good on that end, but they were woefully bad at the end of the season, I thought, defensively. They couldn't stop anybody.
Well, I got to ask you, of course, the draft, it is rapidly approaching. The biggest need will be on what, the defensive end then?
Well, I think or just a two-way player, you know. They need to have somebody. Like Andre Robertson is a nice young player, but he really has no offensive skills. He's very good defensively. But they had that before in Tabo Sefolosha, who went to Atlanta.
Right.
And you know about Tabo. So in my mind, they need a two-way guy, somebody that, yes, can stop somebody on one end, but also be counted on for a key basket or two on the offensive end. So I think if they could get a Devin Booker from Kentucky or an R.J. Hunter from Georgia State or somebody like that in the draft, drafting in a position they're not used to, mid-first round, as being part of the lottery, then that's somebody they need. But they don't need much. They really don't, and they know that. They need health and a good system and people believing and trusting, and if they get all that, they should be right back there, you know, fighting for the Western Conference Finals or an NBA Finals appearance next year.
Hey, just a few more minutes this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, with our very special guest, Bob Berry Jr. out of Oklahoma City. He's the sports director with KFOR Television. You can also listen to him on The Sports Animal. So talk to us about Cantor. I mean, are they committed to keeping him in the Thunder uniform?
Yes, they are. They loved Enes Kanter when he came over from Utah when the Thunder remade their roster at the trade deadline. But again, Kanter, massive liability was defense. I mean, he was terrible. There's no other way to say it, defensively, and yet they kind of knew he had some shortcomings on that end when they brought him in. But they also loved the fact he was going out and getting 20 and 17 every night offensively in the low block, which they hadn't had since they'd been here. So the offensive game is most certainly there. The kid's 22 years old. They love Enes Kanter, but they've got to get somebody to work with him defensively and improve dramatically, just on positioning, if nothing else. He wasn't like you being the All-American viewer at the University of Oklahoma. I mean, he didn't even know where to stand. You know, he'd look around like, what do I do, you know, during games? And his teammates got frustrated with that a few times. And then when they would spend time telling Kanter where to go, then they in turn would lose their guy. And it was just a defensive chaos most of the end of the season, I thought.
Okay, so give us a quick update. How is KD, how's Russell doing in the offseason?
Well, Russell's been, you know, he was at the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. He was on stage dancing at a Chris Brown party. I mean, he's doing commercials. Russell's having a fun time. But there was a report, and I think it was an erroneous one myself, but it came out a couple weeks ago that he was upset that he supposedly wasn't consulted when Dan Presti made the decision to fire Scott Brooks and hire Billy Donovan. Well, Billy Donovan cleared the air to me earlier this week when he said, no, I've met face-to-face with Russell. Had a very enjoyable talk. We're all on the same page. We know what we want to do. He knows me. I know what he can do. And so I think they're off to a good start. And Durant and Donovan are obviously off to a good start because Kevin normally wouldn't be here in the offseason. He'd be somewhere else working out, but he's got to be here now because of his injury. So they have spent more time together, Donovan and Durant. So I think it's all favorable right now. Everybody seems to be happy and excited. And if they can just stay healthy and get Durant back, you know, in 4 to 6 months instead of 12 to 18 months, which some doctors predict as a worst-case scenario, then they should be fine.
Okay. Oklahoma City Thunder, your news and notes coming to you from Bob Berry Jr. with News Channel 4 in Oklahoma City. Enjoy the weekend. Hope you can tee it up, and we'll talk soon, Bobby.
Thanks, Alyssa.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We will be right back with much, much more NBA talk. Hey, Dr. Bob Rotella is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Got to share a little bit about Dr. Bob's background. He was the director of sports psychology for 20 years at the University of Virginia. He is the ultimate performance coach. And I want to get some more insight on your time that you did spend with LeBron James. From what I've listened to LeBron, he talks about a lot the mental approach to the game, that it's 50% of what it takes to be a champion. So what were the things that he asked you in terms of some of the suggestions that he was looking to glean from you, so to take his game to that next level?
Number one was really changing his whole image of himself as a three-point shooter. He knew that he had to change the way he thinks about himself as a shooter. He knew he had to, you know, really create a picture of him being a great shooter and wanting shots in big situations. I think he then put a plan together for really, you know, how many shots a day was he going to have to make off a hard cut and dribble and a hard cut and catch with a great defender guarding him. And then he had to go execute the plan. And that's where people really start separating themselves. I mean, he goes and lives it. And, you know, a lot of people, once they get to that level, you're in the NBA, you're making big money, you're a star, it's easy to start deciding that, okay, I've done it. I'm good enough. I don't have to keep improving. I think what's so impressive about him is he's got, you know, his standards are probably higher than anybody else's standards for him. And that's very impressive. And I think he really wanted to learn a lot about being a leader. I remember we talked a lot about Michael Jordan and Bill Russell. I told him I thought they were the two greatest players because they won the most team championships. And mm-hmm. then if you want to be, you know, the greatest of all time, well, I mean, you've got to help your teams win. It's not just about you being a really good player. There's been a lot of really great players who didn't become the greatest of the greats because their teams didn't win. So in team sports, you can't do it alone. And I mean, it's very impressive watching his relationship with his teammates. I mean, he's a leader, but he's a friend, he's a supporter, even in the game the other night. I mean, early in the game, he's helping everybody else build their confidence and getting them open shots. But when the game was on the line, it was very clear he wanted the shot. And, you know, making it was fantastic. But, you know, you're going to miss your share, too, which you got to be willing to miss if you're going to take it.
Oh, it was a memorable buzzer beater. In Game 4, the Cavs defeat the Bulls 86-84. Hey, we're going one-on-one with Dr. Bob Rotella tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of his brand-new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. And I got to share with the audience tonight, Bob, you know, what does LeBron James have in common with LPGA legend Pat Bradley?
Well, number one, both LeBron and Pat came to me and basically said, I want to be the greatest. And, I mean, Pat was 31 years old when I started working with her, and she had won one time in 11 years on tour and looked me in the face and said, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be Player of the Year at least once, and I want to win all the majors at least once. And the next 8 years, I watched her win 31 tournaments and 7 out of the 8 majors. You know, it's that vision in their heads, even long before it happens, that makes these people special. And I think both of them can really lock in with kind of a laser vision and a determination to go do the things that they want to do. But that happens, I think the discipline, the day-to-day motivation comes out of having the vision in their head. In other words, they see it in their head long before it happens. And that's the way it works for all of us. But these people are willing to acknowledge it and admit it to themselves, that it's a big piece of the puzzle.
Now, we highlighted LeBron. Talk to me about Derrick Rose. Of course, in 2011, the youngest MVP in history to win, you know, the MVP title. And, of course, he, in Game 3, we just think back. I mean, he too hits banks in that game winner. What's your perception of him as a competitor?
Well, you know, it's... He's tougher than nails. When you look back and look at the injuries he's gone through, and if you think about it, I mean, I don't think Bill Russell or Michael Jordan or even LeBron at this point in career have gone through the injuries that he's gone through. He's gone through some pretty significant injuries, and the energy and intensity he's put into his rehabbing is just so impressive. And this year, for him to have surgery and then come back for the playoffs and be playing as fearlessly as he's playing, it gives you a clear picture of how badly he wants this. I think he wants it for his team, he wants it for his city, and he wants it for himself. And, you know, so here's two of the greatest players ever, maybe. I mean, going head-to-head with their teams, and just, it's making for a great playoff, I mean, series, that's for sure.
You know, Derrick Rose, as you just said, you know, he's overcome some tough injuries. Do you think he's back to 100% and to that MVP level? Because as we've witnessed, I mean, he's attacking the basket. He is, in your words, as you said, I mean, he's playing fearless.
No, I don't see any signs of him being afraid of contact. And I would say that, and this happens often when a basketball player gets injured, if anything, I'd say his shooting is better. I mean, and I think what happens is when you can't run and jump, you spend a lot of time just spot shooting in place, and you end up becoming a better shooter. I mean, we've seen guys break their right hand if they're a right-handed player and develop an unbelievable left hand during the time that they're injured. So, I mean, it's not uncommon, but Derek didn't just sit around and do nothing. He was rehabbing and shooting. But, yeah, he's got a resiliency that's very admirable.
You know, it's one thing to prepare to rehab. Is that the key to overcoming that fear from, you know, going through so many injuries?
You know, when you get a serious injury, you go through the same stages people go through in dealing with death and dying. I mean, you know, you begin with totally denying that you're hurt, and then you get really, really mad, and then you resist it, and then finally you accept it and you get on with the rehab. And it the quicker you can get on with the rehab, the better. But, I mean, you're going to go through a lot of pain. And, you know, every time you have a new injury, you don't have a whole lot of experience with it. So you have to learn, you know, how hard do I push myself? You know, a guy like Derek, the tendency is to want to push yourself too hard and go too fast. And what you have to do is back them off and get them to just, look, just do what the therapist and doctors are telling you to do, and everything will work out fine. So, I mean, you can't baby yourself, but you also can't push so hard that you cause yourself more problems.
We are quickly running out of time with Dr. Bob Rotel. Of course, the title of his new book is How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. Of course, we did highlight your time with LeBron James, Derrick Rose. Can you give us a quick hit on John Calipari, of course, with his Kentucky Wildcats?
Well, I think John is one of the most energetic, passionate people. And I've worked a lot with John for the last 20 years. He just really loves basketball players. He loves the game of basketball. And he's got this picture in his head that if a kid comes and plays for him, he's going to help him have a great future in the NBA and have a great life. And he feels like he's going to change the history of their families. And, you know, that's a lot of what John's about. I mean, that's what he gets up for and talks about constantly.
Right.
And he just kind of loves doing it. He's got his passion is pretty mind-boggling. But he spends a lot of time getting these kids to understand that with success, there's a lot of giving back to hospitals, to handicapped individuals. And so, I mean, he really teaches that there's more to it than just becoming great and making a lot of money, and that it gives you the power to make people feel good. John's a gatherer. He really loves having a lot of people around him, and he has the kids at his house all the time, and he has a lot of individual meetings. But, you know, I think he and I share the idea that it's all about going for greatness. It's, you don't get it all the time. You don't always get the number one spot or outcome, but you got to go after it. And I just love how his teams, they really play with lots of energy at both ends of the court, and they're very unselfish. And you know what? They can look in the mirror when the season's over every year,
right,
and go, well, we gave it everything we got, and this is what we got this year.
It's been such an honor to have with us tonight at YSR, the Biggie Sports Show, Dr. Bob Rotella. Go out and get a copy of his new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. What a pleasure. And we just wish you continued success, and we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thank you so much, Dr. Rotella.
Great talking to you, Alyssa.
Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Alyssa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. And you can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. That is StreamYSR.com. Normal data rates apply. So right now in our next segment, it is time to tee it up. And we're going to shine the spotlight on how to learn the do's and don'ts of golf with etiquette expert Peter Post. Peter is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line, and he has just released his new book, The Unwritten Rules of Golf. Good evening, Peter. It is so nice to have you with us this weekend.
It's a pleasure to be with you, too. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. And summer is just around the corner. Golf season is in full swing. So I thought, you know, it's a perfect time to brush up on our golf etiquette and the unwritten rules. I want you to break it down. I mean, golf is the only sport where how you treat other people in the game is as important as the actual game itself. I mean, we know the rules for playing golf are clearly defined, but how golfers expect other golfers to comport themselves before, during, and after a round, I think, is less codified. So what was the goal of your book?
Yeah, the goal of the book was to really bring those unwritten rules, not to how to swing the ball, but how to interact with the golfers that you're going to be playing with and the other golfers, and make that information available, kind of like put it down on paper where both a new golfer could find out about those things, because they're very nervous about that. They worry about being able to, you know where to stand and what to do and all those things. At the same time, frankly, there's some experienced golfers out there that don't have to get it all right, and they could use a little refresher course as well. So it was for both groups that I wanted to be able to produce a book that didn't tell them how to swing, but it told them how they could get people to want to play golf with them.
And I have to wonder, too, Peter, just how much fun was it putting this particular book together? I know you've produced some in the past, but, I mean, I just have to assume just a tremendous response from some of the stories on golf etiquette and what they should be doing out on the course.
It was so easy. I put up a survey. I asked people to tell me their stories.
Right.
Stories galore. Mm. And, you know, the guys that I play with, I mean, they're in the book. And the stories are real. The ones that I tell are real stories with my real the guys that I play with every Thursday afternoon, in fact. You know, it was really fun because they got right into it. I even asked them to read the manuscript and make sure that they saw what I saw out there, and that they felt that it was really an accurate representation, even if it made a little bit of fun of them at the same time. So it was like this group effort in some ways. It was just it was more fun to do. I can't tell you how much fun I had doing this project.
I love listening to your enthusiasm in your voice. What do you love about golf the most? Because one of the things, as a mother of two young sons and two junior golfers, I mean, what I love is just it's a game of sportsmanship. And to go through your book, it was so refreshing just on, you know, remembering how to behave accordingly.
Yeah. I think the thing I enjoy about it as much as anything else is the camaraderie. The guys that I play with, that I played with for 20 years, and we get together every week and we play a game of golf. And, you know, we can put everything aside and just get out there. And for 4 hours, you know, the work isn't involved in it, the problems at home or whatever else might be out there, that's not part of it. What's part of it is four guys who can get together and just have a common interest and enjoy each other's company. And then the golf is almost secondary at times. I mean, you know, yeah, you might have a little bet, you might do a little bit of this or that, but really, it's the fun of being with these people and enjoying it. And that's, again, why I love doing the book, because what it helps people understand is so much about golf is about how you get along with the other people. And if you get along with them well, you get invited back. And frankly, if you don't do those things well, and if you do things that really frustrate other golfers, you're going to find yourself playing all by yourself.
Author Peter Post is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're talking about his brand new book, The Unwritten Rules of Golf by Peter Post. And you had said that, you know, you had posted a survey on the Emily Post Institute website explaining your project, outlining, you know, what is the biggest complaint. So what were some of those top frustrations from golfers and some of that obnoxious behavior out there?
Sure. The by far, number one complaint, frustration with slow play.
Oh, yes.
It just drives people crazy. You know, almost two-thirds of the people, that was their number one complaint. They just, and they wanted to know both how to deal with it in their own group, how to deal with it with other groups, what kinds of strategies were out there to be able to avoid it yourself. And all those things were all part of the whole chapter that's just on slow play.
Okay, so how do you deal with it? I mean, you buy them a round of beer? I mean, what do you do to get those guys and gals to be moving forward?
Yeah, if it's a group that's in front of you, it may even involve how you ask them if you can play through. And, you know, a guy I played with one day walked up to a group in front of us playing slow, and he asked them if it would help them if we played through. And I thought, what a brilliant way to put that. Suddenly you made it like you were going to help them out and make them feel more comfortable because you'd take it on yourself to quickly play through. Instead of saying, you guys are really playing through, you're a bunch of idiots, we need to get by you. And these guys immediately said, oh, well. Yeah, thank you. We'd love to go ahead and have you play through. And it was like clear sailing for the rest of the day. So it was a little bit of a how in that case of how do you deal with it? Otherwise, you know, you can always take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and literally just walk around a hole, skip a hole, and go by them. And I think that's another way to deal with it. You can try to get a ranger to talk to them, but that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Those are three strategies for it that can help you.
Okay, we're visiting with Peter Post tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, talking about the new book, The Unwritten Rules of Golf. So tell us about the layout of the book. I mean, what can readers expect?
They can expect to find out right from before you arrive at a golf course what things to be thinking about, what kind of clothes you're going to be wearing, what kind of a place you're going to be going to, what kind of rules they may have at a golf club itself so that you're aware of how to deal with things in a way that doesn't end up embarrassing yourself. So it deals with attire, the clothing to wear in a golf outing, and thinking about what you want to be wearing and maybe some of the mistakes some people have made when they've gone out there in something that was really not the right golf attire. And then it talks about thinking about what happens as you've arrived at the course and you're dealing with the club itself, the environment, things like cell phones and those kinds of things. Do you turn them off? How do you handle yourself with that? Those rules that exist at a club. And then the first tee, making sure you're on time. Don't be late. That's a key piece of advice for the thing. Once you're on the course, it's playing the course. And some of the advice for both where you stand and how you who hits first and how do you do all that kind of stuff, to fixing divots, to dealing with pinniquette, which I call. That's pin etiquette. And handling yourself around the greens. And then finally, you know, after the round, we talk about the 19th hole. We talk a little bit about going to events and sort of wrap it up. And that's the totality of the thing, how you deal with how you deal with your spouse who you shouldn't be giving advice to out on the golf course. So, you know, it's all these different things that happen out there, and it has nothing to do with how you swing the club, but boy, it sure matters as to how you're viewed by the other people.
Well, and Peter, you talk about that in Chapter 10, a time to talk and a time to be quiet, and I can certainly relate to that. Recently, I was in a tournament with my 8-year-old son, and I was caddying for him, and we completely disagreed on his club selection. He wanted his pitching wedge, and I suggested the 9-iron. As a result, he bogeyed the hole. He was 20 yards short. Mom was right, but the chattering, the chit-chat that was going on between my son and I, the other players heard it, and they were not happy about it.
Yeah, I can just see that happening, and that's just exactly the sort of thing that we're talking about, you know? And don't try to, you know, if it's your husband or your wife, be really careful, especially out on the course, offering advice. I did watch a person one time get so frustrated over time that she finally looked at, we were on about the 14th hole, this thing is right next to a big pond, and she had had the radish with his telling her what to do. She dropped the ball on the green with her putter, made a swing like it was a driver, and hit the ball about 50 yards across the pond, turned to her husband and said, "How is that?"
Oh.
And she never touched a blade of grass with the swing on the ground. It was incredible. He never said another word the rest of that round.
You're listening to the voice of Peter Post. He is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, as we talk about this new book, The Unwritten Rules of Golf. Tell us, I mean, what was the very best story that you received from that survey that you had posted online? Anything about some hole-in-ones?
There was a couple of hole-in-one stories. There was a story of a group of women who were out there, and one of them, you know, hit her ball in for a hole-in-one, and they were all excited and everything else. And it was almost like the next person was like, you know, how do I follow that up? Am I even going to bother to hit a shot? Sure enough, she hits her ball into the hole as well. That was pretty exciting. I thought that was a pretty neat story. But I think the stories I like the best are the stories of a guy who went out with his son, and he'd been playing, you know, with his son, and there's a group of guys behind him who were being held up, and the guy knew that they had been waiting for him a little bit, and that had been happening. And so the guys behind him, you know, they finally finished the ninth hole, and the drinks cart came over and brought them all beers that the guy had sent back to them, and saying, you know, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your not pushing us, letting my son play and letting him learn a little bit about the game with me out there. And I just wanted to let you know you guys were okay. And he'd sent them out four beers. And that's the thing about golf. That's where I see golf being such a great thing for everybody to do and to enjoy out there. That, you know, there was four strangers getting beers from somebody because they'd done something nice for him.
Peter Post, the great-grandson of Emily Post and a passionate golfer. He is the author. He's a New York Times bestseller. And, of course, his new book is The Unwritten Rules of Golf, and you can go anywhere online and check that out. Such a pleasure to have you on our show. Peter, stay in touch. Let us know when you come to Houston. We'll take you out for a round of golf, okay?
I would love it, and I'll let you know. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You stay close.